fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, Tuesday, May 30th. Hope you had a great weekend. Did you have a great weekend?
Yeah, it was a good weekend, three-day weekend. We're 100 days away from the start of the regular season, from right now.
Really?
Not quite right now. It's like 99 days and 23 hours from right now. We will be in this room, Jamie and I will at least, watching the games kick off, watching
it's
all
on Sunday
our preseason
or Thursday?
Predictions burn. Well, it's, I guess, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if it's 100 days from the first Sunday or the first Thursday.
Okay.
We'll be in here either way.
Find out, Dave. That's Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Hey.
That's hey.
And I'm Adam Azer. You can follow us on Twitter at Dave Richard, just like that, singular, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y.
I'm a little mad at you, by the way.
And at Adam Azer. There's always something, A-I-Z-E-R. What did I do now?
You did two things. One, we share a fantasy baseball team, do we not?
I'm sorry.
We make all these decisions in tandem, do we not?
I'm sorry, yes. As you know, I am sorry.
Yes. And you assumed that I was asleep and you were awake? When you made a transaction?
About 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
A meaningless transaction. Like, we dropped the worst player on our team. We were going to drop him anyway.
When you say we, do you mean you?
Yes, you.
Yeah. I woke up, I saw the transaction report, I was like, okay.
Actually, I don't think that's what happened. I said, I think we should start Jed Lowry over Kyle Schwarber. You said, when did we get Jed Lowry?
No, I knew. I wanted to see your reaction.
All right, anyway.
And the second thing is, you come down to visit, and you blow us off to have lunch.
Yeah, you're changing, dude.
Now, you said you may go tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're in.
Okay.
Lunch.
But yesterday there was a little bit of I'm too good for you attitude.
No, it was I'm too busy.
You went out for lunch by yourself today. You didn't even
ask
anybody.
Out for lunch. I picked up a sub and came back.
Yeah. Well, you could have invited one of us that might have been really hungry after having two breakfasts.
The most important thing, I did not invite you.
You did.
I just told you. I knew you were going somewhere else. I told you I'm not interested in that. So anyway,
yeah,
the
most important thing is all right.
Jamie and I walked to the bathroom.
Sorry, Jamie.
Jamie and I went to the bathroom together today, so I feel good about that.
And you didn't beat me. So that's good.
On today's show,
it's a win.
I have good news for you guys, by the way. On today's show, we're going to look at the half-point PPR draft that we did. Let's compare the first six picks in standard PPR and half-point PPR now that we've done all three formats fairly recently. Let's do a breakout alert. I want to try to start most shows with a breakout candidate and talk it out. Dave has an interesting stat on Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, or just Freeman?
Yeah, we'll do both of them.
Both running backs for the Falcons, how they do on turf, because they have 13 turf games this year.
Most of anybody in the league.
Jamie put the strategy that we talked about a couple of shows ago to use and drafted a bunch of rookie running backs. That was in a different draft, so we'll talk about that. And we will read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Good news coming in just a second. First, top six running backs. Running backs and wide receivers that set in stone top six, unless you're Dave. We'll get to that in a moment. How did
it
change?
We got a lot to get to in a moment.
I know. In standard PPR and half point PPR. Well, what's really interesting about this is those three running backs, two of them catch a lot of passes. So in standard, right, in the 12-team standard scoring league that we did, I don't know, a month ago, Ezekiel Elliott.
Right after the NFL draft.
Yeah, so about a month ago.
Ezekiel
Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson were your first three picks. That's standard scoring. Then Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. PPR, so remember, it was Zeke, Bell, Johnson, first three in standard. PPR was Johnson, then Zeke, which was interesting, then Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, fifth, Julio Jones, sixth. So Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Odell, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones. That was PPR. Half-point PPR was also David Johnson 1, so he was number 1 in both PPR and half PPR. Then Le'Veon Bell, who for some reason was 5th in PPR, 2nd in half PPR. Ezekiel Elliott 3. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. Mike Evans to Dave Richard at 6. And then Odell Beckham.
A lot of questions about that, Dave, so you should probably explain why you take Evans
why
over
Why I have Evans over Beckham? Mm-hmm. I think the addition of DeSean Jackson won't hurt Evans as much as the addition of Brandon Marshall and Evan Ingram.
Well, you're leaving out O.J. Howard, too.
Yeah. They throw to their – Jameis loves his tight ends. He's going to throw to those tight ends no matter who's there, and it could cost, I don't know, a grand total of maybe 25 more targets than it was last year between Brayton and the other tight ends that they had.
In other words, you're already factoring in that the tight end played a role last year in Tampa Bay, but not really in New York.
Not really in New York. And it's not that I think Ingram's going to be that big of a factor, but he's a red zone threat. And so is Brandon Marshall. And I still think that defenses defenses are going to double team Evans and Beckham in the red zone fairly consistently, especially when it's 3rd and 10, something like that, 3rd and 8, 3rd and goal from the 8.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Mike Evans, a little bit of a bigger target and a little bit better of a touchdown scorer compared to OBJ, whereas OBJ, definitely more of a playmaker, though Evans can too. Evans can catch deep passes. I just think that Evans has a chance in PPR to be slightly better than Odell Beckham.
See, I could see the argument more so in standard and half point PPR. I think, you know, clearly splits the difference. But in a PPR league, Beckham's going to catch more passes than Evans. I mean, that's just been proven over the course of their 3 years.
What's
together
it been over the last 3 years?
Oh, I mean, Beckham and Jarvis Landry are tied for the most receptions ever in a 3 year start of a 3 year career. So.
That's, yeah, I mean, but yeah,
I'm curious to see just how much it is. I'm looking it up. I believe you.
And they're, I think it's like 50 some odd catches away from breaking Anquan Boldin's record of a start of a 4 year career in terms of reception. So they're historic, and Beckham is historic.
Beckham had only 5 more catches than Evans last year. I think Evans, with those 96 catches, I would have taken the under on that at the beginning of last year. Evans had 96 catches. On 175 targets, Beckham had 101 on 169 targets. So they had very similar numbers, except 2 more touchdowns for Mike Evans gave him 11. He ended up with 11 more fantasy points. So basically, the touchdowns were the only difference. Very similar numbers across the board.
It's 50 more catches for Odell Beckham over the first 3 years than Evans, and Evans has played more games.
Yeah, remember Beckham missed 4 games.
Right,
then
at
he
the
missed
beginning
one
of his career
with a suspension.
Yeah, I think it's 3 games more for Evans than it is for Beckham, and Beckham still is outproduced him by 50 catches, so that might be something I have to fix.
All right, but this was half
it's a
point.
Very, very good point, Jamie.
All right, but so anyway, the other thing here is that the running backs, because they catch passes, they weren't pushed down in the 3 drafts we did. They were not pushed down really behind the wide receivers based on either PPR or half point PPR. And Ezekiel Elliott was first in standard, second in PP, I guess I should probably go standard, then half, then full, right? First in standard, third in half point, second in PPR.
And you took him first in that standard draft.
Yeah, and I would again. And I also think, like, what do you have, 30 catches last year?
He should get better in that regard.
Right.
Lance Dunbar's gone. I don't know, 50. I mean, DeMarco Murray was around 50. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he could. But I think that's where probably more of a role for Darren McFadden steps in.
32 catches last year for Zeke.
I would say 45 is the number you're hoping for.
Yeah. All right. So I just thought it was interesting. Those running backs are so good that people aren't shying away from them. Like I could understand Ezekiel Elliott maybe being the 6th pick in a PPR draft. It wouldn't surprise me. He went 2nd in ours. I don't know that. Obviously, it's not going to be the case in every draft.
Well, I think, just to clarify, I think the PPR draft is, and this is another example of why you should pay attention to scoring format. I don't think it was Will Brinson. I don't think he knew that we were drafting in PPR. Because, look, if this was August, everybody's paying close attention to it. A lot of stuff's going on right now for people. And so I think I questioned him in the draft room, like, why did you take
Zeke?
And he said, oh, I didn't realize. So you can make the argument that he deserves to be there. I think he's the 4th best player in PPR. I would take Antonio Brown ahead of him after the first 2 running backs. I don't know where you stand on that, Dave. You can make a strong case for Julio Jones going ahead of Zeke as well. But in the draft that you referenced, Adam, where I did take the rookies, that was a full point PPR. It was other analysts from other sites, and it was the same.
He went 3
running back. No, he went 3rd. But it was the same running backs with the first 3 picks.
Okay. All right, also running backs that went in the first round. In the standard scoring league, 6 of them went in the first round. And in PPR and half-point PPR, 4 of them went in the first round, just running backs in general, in a 12-team league. And that just means that if only 4 went in the first round in PPR and half-point PPR, that means they went really early in the second round.
There is some news because the 4th guy is LeSean McCoy. I don't know if both, but certainly in the half-point PPR. He came out over the weekend. They're, you know, either finishing up OTAs or they're done already, but... he said that he expects to be more involved in the passing game under Rick Dennison than he has been in his start of his Buffalo tenure. And if you recall, he was a 70-catch guy early in his Philadelphia days ends up being around a 50-catch guy, this is still going to be a very run-heavy offense. But if he can get back to 60-plus catches, which I think is realistic if he stays healthy, he's going to be even more of a monster. So I know, Dave, you like Melvin Gordon fourth, but I think LeSean McCoy is firmly entrenched as the fourth guy, again, hoping that he plays 16 games.
All right, make the case for Melvin Gordon.
He's younger, and I don't think he'll split reps almost at all. And even though it's nice that LeSean is talking about catching 60 passes, I still think he's
He didn't put a number. I gave
okay.
him. Okay. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Even though there's a chance, what's he averaged the last 3 years? And I know it's a completely different offense than what he's been.
Probably been in the 40s.
Well, I'll tell you.
30s or 40s for LeSean McCoy?
28, then 32, then 50 last year. So he did catch 50 balls last year, LeSean McCoy.
And where did Melvin Gordon finish last year in catches?
Oh, come on, Dave. I don't have
that. Was he in the 40s? He was 33
he was in the 40s,
as
rookie. Right?
He had 41, but how many games did Melvin Gordon miss?
He missed
three.
Three.
So he was on a better pace, but I guess not by much.
Yeah, I'm just going with the younger back. With both these offensive lines are pretty good.
Okay.
I'm just taking the younger guy.
I think it's interesting with Gordon because who's going to be the number two guy? He's going to get the majority of touches, but they're speaking very highly of Brandon Oliver, who missed all of last season, but certainly most of last season. And you saw last year in the three games that Gordon missed, Andre Williams, the ghost of Andre Williams showed up and had a big day, 90 yards rushing, I believe it was. I think it was 15 carries. I think it was week 17. Came off their practice squad. And so those are two guys that are competing for touches behind Melvin Gordon. So, you know, like Jonathan Williams is somebody clearly you have to take a look at because of McCoy's age. And
it's almost like a race between those backups on those two teams.
Of who's the worst?
Sort of. But I wonder if Brandon Oliver has a great preseason training camp, if the coaches will carve out a little role for him that hurts Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I don't.
Same thing with Jonathan Williams.
I don't really worry about them hurting the guy in front of them because McCoy was still great last year with Mike Gillisley being awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when he got touches. And Gordon should still be great, even if they do carve out a little bit of a role for someone. But I think it's more of McCoy at his age, being 29 and potentially breaking down. That's where Jonathan Williams could have a chance to be special. And then the backup in Los Angeles for the Chargers, because Gordon missed three games last year. Remember the year before he had the knee injury that may or may not have required microfracture surgery because he was a miraculous comeback if it was microfracture surgery, but he had knee problems. And so, you know, we look at these guys, Zeke, you know, we don't really talk a lot about drafting Darren McFadden as a handcuff. Same thing with Bell, same thing with David Johnson, but you never know in these scenarios about guys that could have, you know, backup situations where it helps them.
2,045 career carries for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah,
that weighs on me. That's why I've got it's just like I said, like, yeah. Melvin's just younger, fresher. I know LeSean's good. I love the quote that he says he's going to catch the ball more, but over 2,000 carries already.
Now you ready for the good news?
What's the good news?
We got nominated for the podcast awards again.
Oh, hooray!
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a little bit different this year. The listeners.
Oh, we might actually get what we deserve.
I don't know. Let's say that. I don't know if the listeners vote this time. There might be a listener voting element. I will let everybody know. I will read up on it. It might be a panel, though.
Who's this with?
Podcastawards.com.
Oh, so the people that we've never won an award with.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah, but we'll try this year. See what we can do.
Why not? Let's
yeah.
just waste our time.
But, you know, they do a good job, and I know there's always a podcasting convention once a year now that the awards are announced at. I assume it'll be the same this year, but, you know, hooray for podcasting. I just finished the S-Town podcast, which was interesting.
All I care about, I don't care about the awards. And this breaks your heart to hear me say this. I don't care about the awards. I just want to talk fantasy with people who love fantasy and just do our best to help people win. That's what I'm all about.
I agree.
I want the bleeping award.
I agree with that, too. All right, bleeping breakout alert. Let's talk about Isaiah Crowell. This was Dave's... Dave's segment here. I said, Dave, who should we talk about for the breakout? He said, how about Isaiah Crowell, who is entering his fourth season, was the 15th best running back in standard last year, 14th in PPR. He had 40 catches. He averaged 4.8 yards per carry. Crowell, one thing I will say, weeks 5 through 12, it's an 8-game stretch. He had fewer than 30 rushing yards in 6 of 8 games. Truly terrible rushing production, but not necessarily his fault. Anyway, Crowell has been in the three drafts that I've been mentioning, standard, half PPR, and PPR. He has been drafted 31st in standard, 30th in half-point PPR, and slipped to 38th in PPR. But what is your realistic hope for a breakout here for Isaiah Crowell? How realistic is it?
Those weeks 9 through 12 and the weeks that you talked about, bad weeks, he totaled 19 fantasy points combined over those 4 weeks last season. It was bad. But he started off last season strong, and he ended it strong. Double digits in 3 of his last 4 games. This is a Browns offensive line that got a lot of help this offseason, and his numbers, actually that week 9 through 12 range that we're talking about, that's when right around the time when Joel Bitonio got hurt, if not even before then last season. And I think that that's a blocking guard that matters for Cleveland. Add him with Joe Thomas and J.C. Treader and Kevin Zeitler at right guard, and then they're going to have a battle for right tackle. It might be the rookie from Florida State. I know Jamie liked him coming into the draft.
Two Florida State guys.
I think this is a great offensive line in the making in Cleveland. And they're just going to line up Isaiah Crowell behind these guys, and he's going to get a great opportunity. Doesn't play a lot on third downs, still caught a lot of passes, was a top 15 running back last year, regardless of format, even in full-point PPR. He got there. He caught 40 passes. Duke Johnson still had his third down role. He was catching passes on first and second down last season. The thing that really that I like best about Crowell, it's a double-edged sword, because he's their goal line guy, he's their best red zone weapon, but it's Cleveland. How often are they truly going to be inside the red zone?
Should be better.
Could be a couple times per game. Also, the 4.8-yard rushing average is a little bit phony. If you take away that long run that he had against Baltimore, it was week 2.
He had a couple long runs on the season.
Yeah, if you take away that big run, his rushing average goes down to like 4.1, 4.2. But I think volume will be there. Goal line work will be there. I don't think he's that bad of a player. I think he's a pretty good player. And the supporting cast got a lot better this offseason. So I don't mind taking him as a great number 2 fantasy running back. Very enthusiastic about him. Half tempted to move him up even into that number 1 range, but I don't know if he's got 1,500 total yard, 10 touchdown potential. I think he falls just short of there.
All right, that's Isaiah Crowell. Jamie, you want to add anything on Crowell? And then tell me this, since we're talking about draft range, would you rather have Crowell or Christian McCaffrey?
I'd rather have... I think I have McCaffrey ranked higher.
Interesting noise.
I think there's more upside with McCaffrey. No, McCaffrey PPR, Crowell standard.
Okay. Anything you want to add on Crowell?
I just hope there's not unrealistic expectations for him because of the improved offensive line. And I say the same thing about Duke Johnson, because I see Duke Johnson drafted by a lot of other analysts.
That was my next question.
Very high.
Why do people draft Duke Johnson?
I think it's the chance of what happens if Crowell gets hurt. You know, does his role potentially increase? You know, you remember when Hugh Jackson took the job a year ago, it was he's got his Jeremy Hill in Crowell, and he's got his Giovanni Bernard and Duke Johnson. And
maybe they should have gotten him there, Joe Mixon.
Maybe so. But I just...
They did draft a running back.
I think they signed one. Marcus May? What are you talking about?
I'll look it up.
I'm sorry, Matt Days. Excuse me. I don't know where Marcus May came from.
That's what I was thinking.
Marcus May is a safety, I believe.
Seventh round pick, Matt Days.
So there's you know, love for Duke Johnson in certain circles, but I don't quite understand it either. I think the thing that's going to either, on top of what Dave said about some of the drawbacks, there's also if this passing game continues to flounder, just stack the line of scrimmage, because you know that the offensive line is great and you know that they're going to try and run the ball and protect their defense. Is he going to face a lot of stacked line of scrimmages, and that hurts his potential?
But that doesn't hurt your evaluation of Jordan Howard, does it? Because I always struggle with running backs on bad teams.
They're kind of similar. Good offensive lines, good players.
Good pass catchers, which I think helps in that situation.
That's the thing. I feel like if you're going to be a running back on a bad team and you're going to have a good year, there are exceptions. But being able to catch the ball is huge.
Yep.
Because we just can't expect a lot of touchdowns, from rushing touchdowns, from running backs on bad teams.
Over 1,250 total yards from Crowell last year. The quietest 1,250 total you'll hear about from 2016. With 7 touchdowns. And he had... only 198 carries.
I kind of don't buy the receiving. Like, I feel like that might be...
Well, the Browns were playing from behind, and he's getting dump-offs and screens.
I feel like that might be a career high, 40 catches.
Yeah, it is, for him.
No, like, forever.
Could be.
It wouldn't surprise
me. But it shows he can get you in the 30s, though.
Yeah.
He's not going to fall off from 40 to, you know, he's not going to become Alfred Morris.
Right. All right, let's move on. Read our email of the day. This is from Austin from somewhere in Kansas. Dave?
I'm thinking... Kansas City extends into Kansas.
So that's where you're going with?
Kansas City,
Kansas. Oh, because Austin said, bring back the automatic Topeka guest, Dave. Oh, I wish you had said Topeka.
Sorry.
My question, comment, are we possibly writing off Adrian Peterson too early? I won't go into the whole diatribe here, but, you know, Peterson's obviously got a history of overcoming the odds. To a lesser extent, I feel the same way about Jamaal Charles. The guy leads NFL history in yards per carry. Are we writing off Adrian Peterson and perhaps Jamaal Charles too early?
I mean, look, they could play well. There's clearly scenarios of them coming into the season and having quality production. I don't know why you would hope for that, though. You have, you know, Peterson at his age, coming off an injured season, going into a crowded backfield. You have Jamaal Charles at his age, going into a crowded backfield. And there's already a report from one of the most respected beat writers around the NFL, Mike Cliffs, who now works for a TV station in Denver, saying Charles is 50-50 at best to make the opening day roster. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's reasons for writing these guys off. Yes, they're great. They have been great. They're you know, Peterson's a Hall of Famer, and Charles, if he had, you know, maybe played another couple seasons, certainly would be in a conversation. But, you know, settle for these guys. Don't reach for them. If you're excited about them, you know, take them in round 7 if you want to. Don't wait until round 9.
I felt good taking Adrian Peterson at 100th overall in a draft we did. Was it the standard?
It was the PPR one.
The PPR one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when I got him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Jamaal Charles.
No, yeah, me neither.
I just, even if it's round 10, I'm nervous. I feel like I've got to see it a lot from him. And by the time I see it a lot from him, the season will have started already. Fantasy drafts will be over. I think Adrian Peterson is going to pick up a nice role in New Orleans. I still think Mark Ingram's got a place there until he fumbles. And if he fumbles, then who knows what could happen. But these guys were great. I don't know
it's
if Father
like
Time
Peterson
is going to let these guys
either.
Be great. I know.
Well, let me tell you what Jeff Tobin did in the draft that the half-point PPR draft. Mark Ingram, first pick of round 5, 49th overall, 12-team league. Adrian Peterson, first pick of round 9. So that's not bad, right?
That's the way to do it. The same thing Dave did. I think you might have taken Ingram a little earlier, but that's the way to approach it. You know, you're looking at guys that...
That's 85th overall, first pick of round 9.
What's 8 times 12? No, it can't be. That's 97th overall?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right around 100th overall.
Mm-hmm.
Some schlub in everybody's league is going to take Adrian Peterson in round 4 or round 5.
What happened
for the exact reasons that this guy from Topeka said.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. That sounds early, but not in our drafts anyway. He's going about 100th overall, which is fine.
And that's when they'll be like, these CBS guys are crazy. Adrian Peterson in 100th overall. I'm going to take him in round 4. I'm going to take him in round 3. That's how it's all going to go.
Let's have some turf talk, Dave. So give us this fun turf stat.
The Falcons play on turf the most of any team this year, assuming that schedules don't change, which they almost never do in the National Football League. So I thought I'd take a little peek-ski at how Freeman and Coleman have done in their careers playing on grass versus turf. And obviously these guys have played on turf way more than grass because – Atlanta plays on turf.
And their new stadium is
their
on
new
turf.
Stadium will be a synthetic surface. On grass, it's a nice 4.2-yard rushing average for Devontae Freeman over 88 carries. I think that's a good enough sample size. And this was last season. On turf last season, 5.1 yards per carry. So almost a full yard per carry better for D. Freeman playing on turf. And I thought to myself, well, let's just see if it's been like that his whole career. So I went back to 2015, and sure enough, on grass, 2015, 3.1 yards per carry. On turf, 4.5 yards per carry.
Sweet.
Lots of touchdowns on turf, but to me, that's relative. So if it's good for Devontae Freeman, it should be good for Tevin Coleman too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong! On grass, Tevin Coleman last year, 35 carries. I don't know if that's a great sample size, 5.8 yards per carry. On turf, over 83 carries, 3.8 yards per carry. His receiving average, I should have done this for Devontae Freeman because it was better for him on turf than it was on grass. On grass last year, 11 catches for Tevin Coleman, 20.1 yards per catch. He had a 49-yard catch and run. On turf, 20 catches, 10 yards.
I would just think overall that we should expect more offensive production. Blanket statement, more offensive production on turf.
I think so, too. And this is still one of the stronger offensive lines in the league. And Freeman had more red zone touches than Tevin Coleman. Coleman, to me, was a very touchdown-dependent fantasy running back last season.
He scares me.
Yeah. I double-checked my rankings to see where I had Devontae Freeman, and he's still up pretty high for me in my running back rankings. I don't know if I'm going to push him ahead of the likes of Melvin Gordon and LeSean McCoy, but I think he could have a very good year, and I think it'll help him. Last year, 10 games on turf. This year, 13.
Well, I mean, look.
And I just think that this is an Atlanta offense that will lean on him again.
It's also the biggest factor is that's where their home games are. So you're generally going to play better at home than you are on the road. That's just the nature of most sports. And so when they're playing in their own building, they're going to produce more production typically than they are when they're on the road. Also, think about the teams that have played indoors over the last couple of seasons. It's typically been teams with bad defenses.
Well, but we always
it's
like
not
the
necessarily
Saints.
An indoors thing. It's a turf, like Seattle, for example, last year. Atlanta went to Seattle. That's a turf team.
What, but the Saints, like, we always like them when they're playing on turf, right? Don't we seem to think that they play better on turf?
Sure, mostly at home. But
this
yeah.
sort of the same type of like this, I think, is good news for Matt Ryan too. I think it's very interesting, Dave.
Well, the interesting
like
thing
it.
About the Falcons is they're going to be a fall off because of the coordinator change. I mean, that you know is almost more important than where they're playing is who's calling the plays for them and
well,
how.
Maybe they won't.
They might not.
Yeah.
I also think the Falcons have one of the easiest schedules this year.
All right. Well, it could be another big, could be another bonanza year for the Atlanta Falcons,
oh, no.
guys.
Thanks a lot.
So as we make our way to the half point PPR draft, I'm just going to give some quick notes from around the NFL. Roberto Aguayo, second round draft pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2016. Their kicker, he needs to beat out Nick Folk to be Tampa Bay's kicker this year, and it might not happen. He's really be kind of gutsy if they release the second round pick, but you know.
No, it's not. This guy sucks.
I know, but God, what a failure. Second round picks yeah. usually last more than a year before yeah. they get cut.
So the Bucs will admit that they were wrong with spending the pick on Aguayo. They'll get rid of him. Folk has been a good kicker.
This will be a coach versus GM battle in the discussion room. In yeah. somebody's
I don't
office.
Think it'll be that long of a discussion.
Well, depends.
They've got to go with somebody who's reliable. This is a playoff contending team. In their minds, they are playoff contenders. They can't lose a game because of a missed field goal.
That's right.
And they can't let they can't be hung up on the draft pick that they spent for this guy if he's not as good as Nick Folk.
Welcome to the NFL, where things get hung up on all the time.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if it was a safety or something, if it were a safety, you could hide him. You could bench him. You could, you know, put him on special teams. He's got a kick. They don't even roster one kicker. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Folk's going to win.
Chargers reporter, ESPN's Chargers reporter Eric Williams expects Hunter Henry to be the main tight end for the Chargers this season. That's not a big surprise, right?
In your notes, you listed Hunter Henry to be LAC's main tight end.
The Clippers, yeah.
In my mind, I have called the Chargers the Clippers a couple of times because of our little designation of LAC for
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they're the Clippers.
Yeah, this is what we expect for Hunter Henry. We expect him to step up and get much more work. I liked him coming out last year. I know you did, too. We didn't think he was 8 touchdowns good, which is what he did as a rookie. Which means he's going to get like 12 touchdowns this year. He's going to be a monster. I think, Adam, you like him the best of any of us.
I don't know if I would rank him the best. I just feel like I target him the most. Like, mm-hmm. I want to wait on Hunter Henry. I think he's great value. ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese.
Reese.
Expects a reduced role for Deion Lewis, right?
Lewis.
Deion Lewis. No, Deion Lewis. He's suggesting 15 to 20 snaps at running back per game. That's low. They are undefeated when Deion Lewis is healthy, which is amazing. Yeah. Is it possible that Deion Lewis is still the best running back on the Patriots? Like, forget how you ranked him for fantasy.
Forget
just
the
like,
role,
he's
just
the best player.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm. Why would he be the best? Because he's the fastest?
I think he could be the most versatile.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I think the biggest issue for him is health.
Oh, sure, it's but been to Adam's problem. Question, if everybody played 16 games and everybody got the same amount of touches, who would be the best guy there? It wouldn't be a surprise if it's him.
No, it would not. Mm. I got a question for ranking Mike Gillisley 16th among my running backs.
Look, I'm going to give this stat.
I just think he's going to fall into the end zone a lot.
I'm going to give this stat like over and over again. I looked at three years, maybe four, where the Patriots had Stephen Ridley, LeGarrette Blount, they gave him 16 carries per game on average. Mm-hmm. I think it was more like a week-to-week thing. You didn't know what they were going to do. But those guys got carries. They weren't afraid to make Stephen Ridley a workhorse and obviously LeGarrette Blount last year.
Their ideal situation is get that guy carries in the first quarter, get that guy's carries in the fourth quarter, because they're probably trying to wear down the opponent early and certainly wear down the opponent late.
All right. So where do you have Gillislee, Jamie? Dave has him 16.
He's in the 20s. I'm not as aggressive on him, but you know it's probably a couple spots different. But I agree with Dave. I think it's the touchdowns. You know, that's what you're hoping for with Gillislee. And you're talking about a guy. It's not like you're saying, okay, he's just LeGarrette Blount. He was the 26th best running back a year ago. He had a very productive season. He beat up the Patriots in the game that LeSean McCoy missed, so they know what they're getting. You just wish he was maybe a little bit younger. You know, he's not. He's 26, I believe.
Not so. A lot of tread on the tires, though.
No. I mean, there's a lot to like about him. You know, good offensive line, good, clearly good offense around him. So
decent coaching.
He's got a great chance. The only drawback is Deion Lewis is there, Vex Burkhead's there, and James White's there. And so they're going to use all four guys in some capacity. If you're talking about 15 to 20 snaps for Deion Lewis, that's not great for Mike Gillislee.
So let's talk about some drafts here, guys. We'll read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com in a little bit. All the listeners want to know what you thought of the baseball brawl yesterday, the Bryce Harper brawl.
I think Bryce Harper needs to work on his aim.
I think he missed him on purpose with the helmet.
No, that's
Jamie doesn't agree.
No.
If you want to fight somebody, why?
If you want to fight somebody, why would you purposely miss throwing something?
I think he was smart enough to, in the heat of the moment, as he's throwing the helmet,
but at
say,
the last second?
Yes, say, this is a bad idea. I'm going to get suspended.
Yeah, he looked like he was very rational at the time.
He was at least rational enough.
If you're going to do that, then why finish the charge to the mound?
And punch him in the face? It's a good question, but how could you? He's a right fielder. He throws darts to home plate. Like, how could he miss that badly with the helmet? He missed by 5 feet.
So you're saying as the helmet's coming out of his hand, he's like, let me drop this and just throw a punch instead?
Yeah, he's saying, like, his thought process, and all this happened super quickly, was, if I hit him with a helmet, I'm going to get suspended probably 5 more games, and it's going to be really, really bad. So here I am, throw it, no, going to throw it off to the right, and now I'm just going to punch him in the face. And he got punched in the face first, by the way. Strickland hit him in the face.
Because he was thinking too much about where to put
the
helmet.
Yeah, he was. He didn't know what to do. True. He just didn't want to get hurt. Suspended. All right, anyway.
Weird game, baseball.
So, yeah. Hockey's been very fun, by the way. I've been watching the Stanley Cup. Well, I watched the finals last night. I watched Game 7 a few days ago. Very fun. I talked to Jamie and Heath last week on the podcast about if you draft 5 rookie running backs. I think basically what I said was you will have 2 that you feel good starting every week, weeks 1 through 17. We may not know who it is when we draft them, but at some point you draft 5 rookie running backs, you will have 2 starters all year long. Jamie tried to use that strategy in an expert draft he did, and he got 4 running backs. So let's talk about it. How did it go?
It's for an upcoming magazine. I won't say what it is, so I won't ruin their magazine if they're really interested in how I drafted. But I had the 4th pick. It's a full-point PPR, and I told you this, that I wasn't going to reach for any of the players. Like, I wasn't going to just go rookie just to take him.
Fournette round 1, McCaffrey round 2,
right,
Mixon round 3, Cook
so
round 4.
I knew that I was either going to take Antonio Brown or one of the 3 running backs. I took Brown. I took Fournette in round 2. I've done that in a lot of drafts, so that's not a big surprise. Then after taking DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins in round 3 and round 4, I took Dalvin Cook in round 5. I was hoping for Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon actually went in round 2 ahead of Leonard Fournette. So
what?
Somebody is very high on Joe Mixon. You get this a lot. You know, people get excited about certain players. 2 running backs that I wanted to get after taking Dalvin Cook. You know, I'm very high on Jamal Williams and very high on Kareem Hunt. Both those guys went almost relatively picks before me. I was very upset that I did not get those 2. So the 3rd rookie that I drafted was Samaje Perine. Very excited about him. I think he's better than Rob Kelly. I would draft him ahead of Rob Kelly. I took him in round 8. And then my 4th rookie running back, who we did this draft on another site, so I was pleasantly surprised that he was there in round 13, was Marlon Mack. And so the 4 rookies that I drafted were Fournette, Cook, Perine, and Mack. Now, you can make an argument to your theory, Adam, that both Fournette and Perine will be starters for their respective teams come week 1. You could also say that Dalvin Cook will as well, but he's got a little bit more competition, in my mind, than Perine does. And Mack is an injury waiting to happen. So I wanted Joe Williams. He was somebody that I was hoping to get. He also went before I had the chance to pick. And so had it worked out, ended up taking Derrick Henry in round 9. Again, it's a PPR league, so he's going to fall. Let's just say I would have taken somebody else there, and then it would have been Marlon Mack as the other running back. So the only non-rookie running backs that I have on my team are Amir Abdullah, who I took in round 6, which is more realistic, Mr.
Perfect.
Azer,
yeah.
and Derrick Henry.
Round 6 for Abdullah. Yeah, I've been thinking more and more about Abdullah. So again, I took him in round 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the most recent draft. I just think I'm not really considering the foot injury. I don't know. I really feel like if Abdullah plays 14 games, let's just say, I think he's going to give you fourth round value.
He's only going back to, I don't know, high school, but in college and the NFL, the only time he's ever missed time due to injury was last year, healthy all throughout his Nebraska career.
A torn ligament in his foot scares me.
I think it's one thing, you know, we just finished saying how the Browns offensive line is going to help Isaiah Crowell, who's got a better track record, clearly, than Amir Abdullah has in his NFL career. The Lions offensive line could be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, with the additions that they made, if the guy they got from Green Bay, why is his name escaped?
TJ Lang.
TJ Lang is healthy, coming off an injury, and certainly Rick Wagner with the investment they made in the NFL draft a year ago. That team could have a very strong rushing offense. They just signed Matt Asiata. Somebody asked me if that's going to impact how I rank Abdullah. No. He still has to beat out Zach Zenner and DeAndre Washington for that role. Dwayne Washington, excuse me.
Yeah. Name that Washington. So, well, Dave, what do you think about drafting? He only got 4. But what do you think about that theory? If you get 5 rookie running backs, you will have 2 starters all season long.
Does one of them have to be Fournette?
One of the top 3. Fournette, McCaffrey, Mixon. Is that your top 3
Cook,
or you have Cook
4?
No,
I have Cook up there.
You have Cook 3. My like personal just guess about Dalvin Cook is that by like week 4 he's the guy and he tears it up. But you know I've been talking about it since last year how much I love Dalvin Cook. But yeah, I guess I would say you have to have 2 of the top 4. How about that? 2 of the top 4.
Then why
and 5
do I need
overall?
To draft 5? Why not?
Because,
why can't
because
I
it's
just
very realistic that
guys?
You're struggling to fill that number two running back spot early in the season.
I think it was made very clear in the pre-NFL draft process that running back was a strong class, and there's a lot of really good talent in the running back class. And I think you look at every single situation where these running backs land, and you look at the competition for a lot of these guys, and you go, that's nothing. You know, Ty Montgomery is the guy standing in front of Jamal Williams, although we've heard Aaron Jones could be a good player for Green Bay too. I know Ty Montgomery had his moments last year. I think Jamal Williams could be the better guy. You look at P. Ryan, Jamie said it. He should be a better running back ahead of Rob Kelly because we're talking about a guy with a far better pedigree coming out of college than Rob Kelly had. And at worst, they're the same guy, and P. Ryan's just younger and probably a little more versatile.
Yeah.
Every single one of these running backs, Marlon Mack in Indianapolis behind Frank Gore, all these guys landed in situations where if things break the right way, one of those types of things, they'll be in line for a huge workload, and they're talented.
Mm-hmm.
These are talented players that landed in situations where they'll have a chance to play.
I think that,
and that's why I think there's demand for them, and I think that's why the theory that you have, where if you draft 5, 2 will be good, I think it makes sense. But I don't think you necessarily target them hardcore on draft day. You're just trying to get them in spots where you feel good taking them, which is what you, Jamie, did.
Yeah, I wasn't going
to.
Like
you didn't
I said,
try
I,
hard
I,
to get those.
I wasn't going to sacrifice the
talent at other positions, maybe.
Right, and you know, taking them 2 or 3 rounds ahead of where they should have gone. You know, you can say maybe I took Fournette. I'll say we because we have him ranked relatively high, but are we too aggressive on Fournette taking him in the second round? Is he more of a third round pick?
He's a second
round
pick.
Dalvin Cook in the 5th round, I think, feels right. You know, just based on where he goes. P. Ryan in the 8th round feels right. You know, I don't think, you know, to your discussion about does it have to be 2 of the 4 guys, I think 2 of the first 4 guys, you know, Fournette, McCaffrey, Mixon, and Cook, 2 of them should be good if not great. It's that next group that you're hoping for someone to ascend from. And then even that third group, and the second group for me is Hunt, it's Williams, it's P. Ryan. You know, and then it's that next group where it's Mack, which is probably going to be injury related.
Yeah.
Joe Williams, just because of how the Carlos Hyde situation is unfolding. you know, it's those guys I think that could be the late round flyer that essentially. I was just looking while you guys were talking. So you have last year, Zeke we know was great. The next best rookie, well, then Jordan Howard, who was great. The next best rookie running back, just in terms of overall finish, you know who it was?
It was Zeke, was then Jordan Howard?
Yeah.
No.
Paul Perkins? Who was third?
Who?
Paul Perkins?
No.
Did Dixon get enough late in the season?
No, it was Kelly. Kelly had 168 carries. But he wasn't great. He was, you know, outside the top 24. And then Devontae Booker. Total touches for him, you know, after C.J. Anderson got hurt.
Oh, man. I'm going to look up my notes from right before the draft, because I went back and I looked at how many rookie running backs finished in the top 24 over the last 5 years. It's pretty low. If you had three in a year, that'd be pretty big.
But I think
this year is going to be different.
I agree, because I think these are really talented. Even Joe Williams, who wasn't necessarily on the draft radar. Partially his own doing, because teams took him off because he retired from college football, and then he came back and then ended up being a fourth round pick. He's just a good player in a situation that's favorable. He is one of many rookie running backs that are in there. So I think it's worth – I like that we're ranking these guys high.
Sure, and then you have, again, you know, we've seen it with Le'Veon Bell. If he goes down, James Conner could have a great opportunity, although he's hurt right now. Deontay Foreman, who could score touchdowns for the Texans, you know, and if Lamar Miller gets hurt like we saw last year.
Right. But something happened to Foreman, didn't it?
He came in his rookie minicamp out of shape. You have, you know, Wayne Gallman in a situation where – there's not an established guy in front of him. Paul Perkins had a okay rookie season. You mentioned it, Dave. Aaron Jones. You know, if he ends up being the best running back in Green Bay, there's a situation. You know, DJ Pumphrey and is it Tariq? Tariq Cohen?
Tariq Cohen in Chicago, but I don't think
no, but
that's
I'm just
a good
example. You know, just in terms of passing downs guys that can make an impact in PPR leagues if the guy in front of them goes down. And then, you know, we're here saying Mark Ingram this and maybe Adrian Peterson. The Saints traded up to get Alvin Kamara in the third round, and he was the fifth running back drafted overall of this class.
And so, he's the one that we really don't even talk about that much. I think that's an example of a guy who had good talent in college, but we look at the situation, we say, well, how close is he really to landing a big role? How close is Kamara this year?
No, but I'm saying he could be a year away.
Right.
A big role. He could.
But we're taking Joe Williams ahead of Alvin Kamara in fantasy drafts.
We are, but most the industry is not.
All right, let me tell you, last 5 years, how many rookie running backs finished as top 25? Four, then five. That was the Le'Veon Bell, Andre Ellington, Zach Stacy, Eddie Lacy.
What was the four last year?
No, I'm sorry. Going from 2012 forward. 2012, there were four. 2013, there were five. Then there were three. In 2014, there were three. In 2015, and there were...
Two last year.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard. So I was wrong. Three's not necessarily a lot. Three's about standard. But, you know, we've been hearing it. This is a good year for rookie running backs. So, or good, you know, this was a good NFL draft class. So hopefully it will be a good year for rookie running backs. All right, so listen, we don't have that much time to get into the half-point PPR draft. We can talk about it a little bit, but we have another podcast coming up on Thursday. We will do it then. Let's finish the show by broaching this topic. Jamie hates quarterbacks, or at least Jamie hates how his team looks when he drafts quarterbacks early, which he has been doing a lot, and so have I, and I think you have too. I've been saying...
Yeah, I've been laying off a little bit.
I just feel like typically I am seeing all of us, including Heath, drafting quarterbacks earlier than we ever have. It's almost like we're valuing them a little bit differently this year. You don't feel like you're in that group?
I've been taking Jameis with a mid-round pick.
And a lot of Derek Carr for you, too, I think, right? Yeah. All right, so you're the normal guy.
Thank you.
JB did not like the way his team looked in the half PPR league because he took Brady in round four. And I took Rodgers in round three. I was the first one to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking during the draft, like, I don't like the team. I think it's because of the quarterback thing. Yeah, it must be the quarterback thing. But, yeah, go ahead. Discuss.
Yeah, it's just, you know, not it's easy to fall in love with when you see Rodgers in round three because he's awesome and Brady in round four because they're awesome. But then as you see the draft unfold and Drew Brees falls to round six and, you know, you start to get further down to it where I believe it started in round 9, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe in round 10. So round 10, we get to Derek Carr in round 10, Dak Prescott in round 10, round 11, Mariota and Kirk Cousins. Those are all top 12 quarterbacks for me. I'd much rather go that route.
Would you, though?
Yes, because Brady's great. He's going to be better than all those quarterbacks.
All right, here's a fun exercise. Okay, who took Dak?
Dak was Drew Maselli.
Give me Maselli. Who went in round 10? Who went before
round
Dak?
Round 10 was Derek Carr.
And who took him?
Will Brinson. But I believe that's his second quarterback. He may have taken two.
Okay.
Or he took
Brinson and Dak were the only two quarterbacks.
Oh, Brinson took Mariota in round 11. So he went quarterback.
And who took Dak?
George Maselli.
Okay. So Will's fourth round pick was Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
George's fourth round pick was Mike Gillisley.
Mm-hmm.
Your fourth round pick was Tom Brady.
Right. I think the way that I wrote the story was if I had taken Brandon Cooks or Golden Tate, which are two guys that I would have taken in that spot instead of Brady, and then later taken any one of those quarterbacks, I like my team better. Because I the only spot where I'm not thrilled with, and you know I like Willie Snead a lot, right now he's my number two guy. I don't doubt by any stretch of the imagination that he could be my number two guy by the end of the season, but I want to draft him as my number three or flex. That's the way I have it ranked.
Who's that?
Willie Snead. Yes. I'm expecting him to have a breakout season. I'm expecting him to be fantastic. I'm expecting him to be well worth a sixth round pick. My goal was, honestly, after I took Brady and RJ White ruined me, was I wanted to come out of round 6 and round 7 with Willie Snead and Pierre Garçon, and he took Pierre Garçon right in front of me because I knew the guys drafting after me were not going to take those two receivers. And RJ took Pierre Garçon in round 6.
Well, I guess the argument for taking a quarterback is just reiterating a lot of the things that we have said on this podcast. After those top 8 wide receivers, sorry to mention top 8 wide receivers, I broke the rule. after that, you get into round 3, and you're looking at guys that might feel like a bit of a reach. And I feel sort of the same way about running back at the end of round 3, which is why I always end up taking Amir Abdullah in round 4. Like, yeah, look, Dalvin Cook might be a great pick in round 4, or he might split a lot of reps with Latavius Murray and be kind of a waste. I don't know. Carlos Hyde, you know, Ty Montgomery. So these are guys that were taken after Aaron Rodgers, but they were all on the board. I could have taken them. I took Aaron Rodgers. I could have taken Keenan Allen. I really have to figure out how I feel about Terrell Pryor. It's somebody that I just don't really know yet. I could have taken him over Aaron Rodgers. But
Landry, who's been basically 100 catches.
Yeah, PPR... Gosh, man, can he just score touchdowns, please? But
he's scoring a lot in OTAs.
Jarvis Landry. I don't. You know how it is. You look at the board. You don't love the pick. You take a quarterback. You take a stud. I do think that the safest players in fantasy are the stud quarterbacks, considering there's no such thing as a safe athlete anymore, as Mike Trout just hit the DL for the first time in his career, and he's... one of the best baseball players ever. There's just no such thing. The safest player in fantasy is probably Tom Brady.
And not Aaron Rodgers.
No, Rodgers has more of an injury history, I'd say. And Brady is just... Like, Brady is better in the sense that Gronkowski gets hurt and his production didn't dip last year and he has more weapons. Aaron Rodgers was like the number 7-ish quarterback the year Jordy Nelson got hurt. So I think Brady's a little safer. I'd still take Rodgers ahead of him. But those two guys might be the safest players in fantasy. So why am I going to risk a third-round pick when I can just take a stud? And the other argument is that, like, I always feel during the season, we're willing to make trades to get Rodgers or Brady or Breeze or something that we would ordinarily give, like, a D-plus grade to on draft day or in week 1.
Yep.
And by the end of the year, when we realize just how valuable it is to have one of those kick-ass quarterbacks, we're totally fine with it.
So, first of all, the first takeaway I have is that the value that you took Rodgers at in round 3, Brady in round 4, these are good values. Like, I still feel like you're taking advantage of the depressed quarterback landscape.
Late
by
round
getting
3
them
and
there.
Late round 4.
Just as you're taking advantage when you get Dak Prescott in round 10, too. Yeah. It's the exact same thing because, like,
but
in reality, Dak
though.
Prescott shouldn't be a 10th round pick.
That's the thing.
Fantasy.
That's our drafts are different. Our drafts are always going to devalue quarterbacks.
But
every analyst draft is going to devalue quarterback. That's just the nature of it. All the user drafts that we deal with, which is why these trades come up, is because they're earlier in their drafts and people are chasing. So they're trying to unload these quarterbacks when they may have taken two, which is likely the scenario, or they picked up somebody off free agency that's the next Kirk Cousins or the next whoever the case may be. you know, that comes up and has a good season. Dak Prescott a year ago.
I don't mind being in one of those types of drafts because I know that there's going to be a quarterback available to me later on. So if I'm in a draft where Aaron Rodgers is a first-round pick and Tom Brady goes in round two and Drew Brees goes in round two or round three, you've just got these fantasy owners that want to get those stud quarterbacks early on, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to change my strategy with quarterbacks because I know there's a list this big. I've got my arms wide open like a crocodile. Like I'm doing the gator
don't
chop
do that
thing.
It's not funny.
Well, at least I'm not doing the Seminole chop. At least I know that there's enough quarterbacks where I can fall into Mariota, Carr, Prescott, Eli Manning, whoever I want later on in the draft, and I still have a starter that can get me, range it, 20 to 25 fantasy points per week. The difference is that when you draft Aaron Rodgers and you draft Tom Brady, you know you're going to have some weeks where it's going to be 30 to 35 to 40 points. And if they could do it every week, that would be great. But when they do it, it's like you're getting a quarterback plus half of a wide receiver too, which means when you don't have a great week from your wide receiver too, that's okay. Your quarterback will help carry
the
guy.
Here's the example of a team that I prefer to follow is Jeff Tobin's draft. It was Matt Ryan in round 7.
Which is incredible value.
Right.
It's incredible.
He had the first overall pick. It was Matt. This is his team. Matt Ryan, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, and we talked about this earlier. He has Adrian Peterson, so he has that backfield for the most part locked up. His other running backs are Danny Woodhead. I'm trying to see which Williams this is. Is it Joe or Jonathan? It's Jonathan Williams. So his running backs are David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson, Danny Woodhead, Jonathan Williams. In half-point PPR, Woodhead's value clearly is good, so it's a good backfield.
Mm-hmm.
His receivers are Doug Baldwin, Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Eric Decker, Tyrell Williams, and Jeremy Maclin. So, you know, taking a flyer on somebody.
Who are they? Say that again.
A bunch of good receivers.
Doug Baldwin.
Maclin.
Uh-huh.
Demaryius Thomas.
Okay, that's good.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Eric Decker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ed Decker.
Tyrell Williams and Jeremy Maclin. So the last two guys could go either way on how they perform. And Martellus Bennett is his tight end. So that's a quarterback value that I would prefer to follow. And then you have the teams that we mentioned just to, you know, we're talking about where those guys were drafted. So Will Brinson sort of followed our rookie strategy. He took Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon right now are penciled in as the starters. Could be very good. He also has Bilal Powell, Giovanni Bernard, and James Conner. His receivers, hard to argue with these guys in a half-point PPR. A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Quincy Enunwa, and Devontae Parker. It's a very good group. And Delanie Walker, a tight end.
It wouldn't have been that good of a group last year. I mean, it would have been while Fitzgerald was good. But Hopkins was a bust.
And any PPR scoring, though, Fitzgerald was good. 100 caps.
As of now, he is. He could easily...
No, last year.
Yeah, last year he was.
And then what was the other team that we talked about? George Maselli. Ben Roethlisberger and Dak Prescott. So the Prescott quarterback was the second one, so I don't know if that really counts.
Okay, yeah.
But Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Mike Gillisley.
Woo!
Le'Veon Bell, Gurley, Kareem Hunt, and Gillisley. That's very, very nice.
That's really good.
And Deontay Foreman, so he took a flyer on somebody that has some potential. His receivers in half-point PPR, you can say good or bad, but there's some potential here. Alshon Jeffrey, Julian Edelman, Martavius Bryant, Marquise Lee, and Tyler Lockett. And his tight end is Jack Doyle.
Mm. Mm. Not great receivers.
No, but
He's got the currency in the running backs where if he had to make a move.
I mean, like, you think so, right? But I think that's kind of the whole point of taking the quarterback is that they're more predictable.
I think the thing about this draft, as I'm looking at the teams, there's no real dominant roster. Like, Dave waited for a quarterback, and his team is very good with Jameis Winston, Crowell, and Coleman. We just got finished talking about Coleman, so I don't know how strong of a number two guy he is.
I just have a lot of running backs to back him up.
Yeah, but I don't know how many of them are good. You have Doug Martin, who could be great, but you have Jeremy Hill, who we know his situation
is. Yeah, but stinks. I got him in round 10.
Kenneth Dixon, whose situation isn't great, and I'm assuming he's DeAndre Washington.
Yeah.
So
Doug Martin and Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah, suspension city.
But your receivers are very good. You have Mike Evans and Michael Thomas. You have Crabtree. That's, you know, I think the best part of your team.
Now, could you have taken a running back before Crabtree? Starting out with...
Yeah.
Who is his first pick? Sorry.
His picks? First pick
I took Mike Evans first.
Mike Evans. You start out with Mike Evans and Michael Thomas.
Yes.
Why'd you go with Crabtree?
Well,
you went Crowell, then Crabtree?
I believe that's what I did. I'm going back to see.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I did.
So
round
who was
three
round
was
five?
Crowell, and when I took Crabtree in round 4, I picked him ahead of Gillisley, Ingram, and Perkins.
I don't really feel great about any of those guys at that point, and that's where Jamie took Tom Brady. Right after two picks.
Right, that's why I did.
But I feel good about Crabtree.
Yeah?
And especially in a league where the catches matter.
Oh, like Crabtree's great.
He's my flex.
There's nothing wrong with
Crabtree.
I wanted
to get a receiver.
I'll tell you.
That works.
A good
one. Here's the problem. Tom Brady in round four, great. It's after what happens after Tom. It's what happens after Tom Brady that ticks me off. Is when I see things that unfold that, okay, I start to think, all right, what do I need to do now? Okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And then things are out of your control.
Quarterback envy.
Had I taken another receiver that I liked, you know, if I replace Brandon Marshall with Pierre Garçon, I know that sounds crazy, but I like the upside, especially in any PPR format, of Garçon this year, more so than Brandon Marshall this year. So Marshall was the guy I took third. If I had come away with Garçon and Snead, I'm not having this problem.
Marshall's their number one receiver right now.
Right, because Odell's catching passes from Manziel.
Yeah, good luck, Eli.
Let's read some emails here. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is Tom from Adam's favorite city. And before you guess, he said, "Dear Jim, Bernie, Vinny, and Steve." You know who they are, Jamie? Jim, Bernie, Vinny, and Steve.
Quarterbacks from the U.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess Miami's my favorite. Actually, Miami's a dreadful city. I'm just going to great school.
The school isn't in the city of Miami.
The whole city, like the greater Miami.
Well, that includes Coral Gables. South Beach, Coral Gables,
it's awful.
Coconut Grove.
The county is terrible. It's one of the least desirable places
to
live.
There are some amazing places in Miami-Dade County.
There are. That doesn't mean it's
Westwood.
Not a bad county. I hate it.
Westwood? What's it called? It's not called
Westwood.
What was I thinking of? Wynwood. I was thinking of Wynwood.
Oh, Steve Wynwood.
No, there's an area of Miami called Wynwood.
Valerie. All right, so I followed Jamie's
all seven people got
number that. Four spot strategy in standard scoring. I ended up with DeMarco Murray, Mixon. So I guess he's a wide receiver. Murray, Mixon, Gillisley, and Kareem Hunt as running backs. Murray, Mixon, Gillisley, and Hunt with crazy good wide receivers. It is a three-receiver league. How do you feel? Should he be comfortable with that backfield? DeMarco Murray, Joe Mixon, Gillisley, and Hunt.
Yes.
I'd be pretty comfortable with that.
That's
right?
A great
backfield.
That's
very good.
I'm assuming crazy good wide receivers are at least one of the top nine.
Well,
he had the fourth pick,
so he probably had one of the top three wide receivers.
Right.
So he took a wide
receiver because he's not taking any of these running backs in round one, and he probably got another wide receiver in round three or four.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great team.
Okay.
Well done. We should do the podcast from Versailles one day in Little Havana.
The Cuban restaurant?
Yeah.
That's a good place.
I know. There's nothing good in Miami-Dade County.
There's nothing good.
But I'm never going down there. My cat doesn't like it.
Would you want to live in Miami-Dade County?
There are places in Miami-Dade County I'd be happy to live in.
Fine. Go to Versailles. This is from...
I'm taking you with me.
What did you call it? Versailles?
Is it Versailles? I thought Versailles. It was Versailles.
No, he said Versailles.
Oh, I thought you said. I'm sorry. I thought you said it wrong.
I know I mispronounce a lot of crap, but I got that. Right.
But do you spell people's names right though?
Like who?
I don't know. Like a friend of yours that maybe.
Oh, come on! No, that's don't.
Who?
Don't. I did not misspell his name. Okay, don't.
Whose name? That he misspelled? Jamie's turning red. This is a good story. Come on.
Can I tell her? No?
Yes. Come on.
Okay. Look.
Don't listen to it. Don't listen.
I'll tell it.
Person in question said yes. That I could tell the story.
Oh great.
I know.
Good
Wait a minute! I know this story. I already know it.
Yeah, it's not. If it were me, you could tell the story. It wasn't me.
I feel bad. We don't call him Nando Valenzuela. We call him Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, somebody spelled Ferdinando's name as Fernando. Fernando. That's Nando DeFino, by the way.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Jeff in a Canadian city north of Portland, Maine.
Do you know how much money that cost you on your wedding gift?
I only introduced him to his wife.
Yeah, he's not. He already gave me my gift. It's my fiance. So, Jeff in a Canadian city north of Portland, Maine.
I don't know. Is Quebec north of Portland, Maine?
Whatever.
Let's go with Quebec.
Quebec?
I thought it was Quebec.
It's Quebec. All right. I'm drafting second overall in a two-quarterback PPR dynasty league. Two-quarterback PPR dynasty. We start three receivers, two running backs. There are no starting quarterbacks available on waivers. I have Cam, Eli, and Alex Smith. I'm thinking about drafting Mahomes ahead of Christian McCaffrey or Joe Mixon in a two-quarterback PPR league. Would you take Mahomes ahead of McCaffrey or Mixon?
No.
It is pretty interesting, though. We never really talked about quarterback value in two-quarterback dynasty leagues. But, yeah, can't do that.
No, because you could still be able to draft one of the rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were hurting that bad for a quarterback, you could trade that pick for a quarterback. Better than, who was it?
Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Sherlock Mahomes. From Jeff Davis. PPR leagues, I'm trying to piece together an effective, both cost-efficient and production-effective, running back strategy in an auction. I'm thinking of targeting both Danny Woodhead and Doug Martin. Woodhead benefits from the early Dixon suspension, and then you put in Martin when the suspensions are done. And it's also PPR, so Woodhead would still have value. What do you think about pairing Danny Woodhead and Doug Martin?
Don't look at Woodhead just that way, as being the guy until Dixon comes back. He's not. I think he's going to be a fundamental part of the Baltimore offense. I still think he's got the potential for 60-plus catches in Baltimore.
I don't know.
I think that's why they brought him there.
Is his role even going to change? Probably a little bit. But when Dixon comes back,
is his role going to change? No, I don't think
so. He may get a few extra carries.
He might get a few less carries.
After.
Right.
But in the first four games, yeah, a few more carries.
I don't want to give away all my auction strategies since we haven't done an auction yet, but I'm going to try hard to get both Titans running backs
in auction. Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's really... It's not fun to do in a draft because people are going to be targeting Derrick Henry around 6, 7, 8. And you've got someone more early. Really? You think he's sliding?
Yeah.
I would love for that to happen.
I just took him in round 9. I don't know where he go in this draft.
Round 9?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking. I would love that. But in an auction, it's much easier
round 8 here
to get those Titans running backs together. I like where Jeff's head is at, though. But I almost feel like you're counting a little too much on Doug Martin coming back and being great.
Can we read these two emails very quickly, please? This is from Hader.
You're the reader.
Half-point PPR redraft league. We have two keepers, and it's redraft, but two keepers. You pay a two-round higher price. So it's half PPR. Would you keep two of these? Great job speeding it up, Adam. Jordy Nelson, 6th round. Devontae Freeman, 7th round. Michael Thomas, 8th round. Pick two. Jordy 6th, Devontae 7th, Devontae Freeman.
I agree, because you can keep them longer at better values.
All right, John
and KC. So next year it's Freeman in 5 and Thomas in 6.
You won't be keeping Freeman in 5 next year.
He might. In the 5th round for Devontae Freeman next year?
He'll have better options, and Freeman's going to start to trend in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but he'll still be a good value around 5 next year.
All right, John and KC, grade the trade. 10-team dynasty, standard scoring. Give up. Here we go. Get your pencils out, everybody. Zeke, Gurley, and Gronk. Give up Zeke, Gurley, and Gronk. Get Evans, Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman. Give up Zeke, Gurley, and Gronk. Get Evans, Melvin Gordon, and Freeman.
Zeke's the best player in the trade.
Not in Dynasty.
Yes, in Dynasty.
No, Evans is better.
I have to disagree.
I totally disagree.
There's more longevity with wide receivers.
Yeah,
that's
but you've got Zeke in his second year.
I want
He's
a stud running back for the next 5-plus years.
Zeke might be the next Adrian Peterson.
You may have that. You may have two of those. You just said Freeman's not going anywhere next year.
I think
maybe the second, third, and fourth best players in Dynasty in this are on the other side of this trade.
Evans, Gordon, Freeman.
Yeah.
I'm taking the best player, so I'm taking Evans.
You're going to take the Evans side.
It is standard scoring, by the way.
I think you get more on the Evans side than the Zeke side.
Gurley will make or break this trade, by the way.
Of course.
But so you guys are going to take the Evans side, which means you're going to give this a C-plus at least. Great. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're out of here. We'll talk to you on Thursday. We will do a lot more about that half PPR draft. And
We have lunch with Adam by Thursday?
You will.
Will he not blow us off?
See you later.
Quebec. Bye.